Hello and welcome to StrangeCast episode 19.
Double standards.
Of which there are many. So, how are you doing, by the way?
Me?
You.
I'm fine. You're the one that's been sick for, what, a week? Over a week
hundreds,
now?
Hundreds of years. It's never ending.
Oh.
Well, we've had some lovely comments about you the last week that you've read. Enough to make you blush, isn't it?
Definitely.
Everybody loves her, you see. It's not everybody loves Raymond. Everybody loves Kirsten. And I concur with this.
You as well. They like the chemistry between us.
Yeah, admittedly. But everybody's here for you. And I'm down with this. Anytime you compliment my wife in front of me, you're definitely good in my book.
It's very, very kind. Thank you, everybody, for all the comments and messages. And if I don't reply to them, I'm really sorry. I will try and make sure that I do make more of an effort with that. But yeah, they're all so, so kind.
Haha. Been only bragging about you for 17 odd years. People get to see why. Man, this man's crazy, man. He's crazy about his wife. What's going on? Well, this is it. So, how about answer to the question from last time? Because yes. I did not know it.
So, it was to list the continents from largest to smallest.
Yes.
So, we have Asia, Africa, North America, South America, Antarctica, Europe, and Australia.
Now, when you say North America and South America, all I hear in my head is North at Zero, South at Zero, Malin. And you would only know about this if you've ever listened to the shipping forecast on BBC Radio 4, which is probably not a lot of our audience. But if you ever get a chance, I'm sure you can find a clip on YouTube or something, do it. Because it's one of those things I used to listen to as a kid. And I used to think, wow, what crazy place names like Dogger and Bite. And I used to listen to this late at night and it just seemed like places that were so far away that they surely didn't exist. But they do exist.
I think it's really cute that you were so young and listening to such, not bizarre,
old people
but
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I know.
It's funny.
It was because I liked Radio 4 as a kid. I used to listen to like the stories they would have on at night and stuff. And it would always be when I'd be at my nan's house in Kent. Because in London, I would just listen to like pirate radio stations and black music. But when I was at my nan's, it was always other stuff.
You listen to The Fisherman.
Yeah, The Fisherman. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't have pirate radio stations in Kent because it was very gentrified, you know, no posh. It was all posh. So I couldn't have all my usual haunts. So I had to find some way to entertain myself. And listening to Radio 4 was the way to do it.
Sure.
So that's what I did. So tell us about this whole double standard thing.
Well, you're skipping ahead a little bit. We need the question for next week.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So we have the question. When was Netflix founded?
Oh, interesting.
So it's multiple choice. Was it 1997, 2001, 2009, or 2015?
Right. Interesting.
So there you go.
It might surprise you, the answer to that one.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Crazy old thing.
So double standards.
Yes. What is it? Why? And.
Well, I mean, I think everybody knows what double standards are. But in this context, and there are lots, there's so many different avenues that we could go down. So obviously we'll only talk a little bit about a few of them, but just so that everybody knows, it's not because we don't recognize that there are double standards everywhere in, you know, every avenue. This is just what we've sort of chosen to speak about. So initially, I thought we could talk about this because I heard on a different podcast a video. It was actually an American video that a woman had filmed of her parents. And it was, you know, it was a funny video. It was comical. It was supposed to be harmless and everything. And it was. And it's the dad saying to the mum the things that she says to him that he couldn't say to her.
Oh, yes.
So it was things like when he comes down, you know, to dressed in the morning to go out for the day or whatever. And she's like, oh, my God, you look awful. Back upstairs and change. And he was like, if I said that to you, that would be. Yeah. Or, oh, my gosh, your hair just is a disaster. Things like that, you know, or those trousers make your bum look saggy.
That was my favorite.
That was your favorite. She could say that to him, but he would not have been able to say that to her. It would have been taken completely differently to how he took it. And it was all like joking and lighthearted and everything, but it did get me thinking that actually it's quite true. I think a lot of times as women, we might say things to our partners that if they said it back to us, we'd be quite offended.
Naturally.
You can say what you think. I mean, I don't think there's necessarily any examples in our relationship particularly, but I know that it is something that's quite often spoken
Well, it's just
about.
Not the way we speak to each other, let's be honest. So it doesn't kind of come up, does it?
No, not really. And also, yeah, I suppose it is the way that we are with each other, because if you came down and you were wearing, you know, you were about to go out somewhere and you were wearing, I don't know, a t-shirt that didn't match your trousers, I wouldn't say to you, oh, you look awful, go back upstairs and change. I'd say, oh, that's maybe not the right t-shirt.
Quite right.
You know, and if you're going somewhere fancy, it's usually me or Alice now that chooses what you're going to wear anyway. So I suppose in that sense, we maybe are a little bit different. But, you know, there would still be things that I'm sure that if I said to you, you'd probably be okay. But if you said them to me,
you probably would.
Only because I'm a bit more sensitive.
That's, by your own recognizance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I'm sensitive. You know.
But I've always bigged you up, so I wouldn't come up. But I think, you know, we also talked on the phone earlier, and I was like, we better save it for the podcast, about double standards around our kids too. Yeah. And it's not even like a, well, it is a purposeful decision, but you didn't really consider it as a double standard until you start breaking it down.
Yeah, I think
interesting.
The way that you raise boys and girls is obviously going to be different.
Yep.
But then, you know, you always want to think that you treat your children as equally as possible. And yeah, that you...
except when you can't.
Absolutely.
And I think this is a prime example of when you kind of can't necessarily.
Yeah, and the example that we really honed in on was them starting school, you know, secondary school. The difference between having a boy start secondary school and going out into the world on his own, to the shops, to and from school, out with friends, is very different to having a girl do exactly the same. When Jake was doing it, you know, we were nervous about him going out by himself, weren't we? Because he still felt like he was little to us. But it was a case of, you know, it's going to be nerve-wracking at the beginning, but he's going to do it and he's going to be absolutely fine. Whereas with Alice, we've been so much more cautious and continue to be. And I think we will be for a very, very long, well, maybe we won't ever not be, but, you know, we haven't allowed her really to do much on her own. She's either with friends or with Jake. The only time I think she ever goes completely by herself is walking from the top of the road down to our road, because they split, you know, from her friends, from her friendship group. And certainly when it gets dark, there's no walking anywhere by herself. And it is completely different, because the realization of having a girl, you know, and what can happen is completely different. And I mean, what do you think? You know, you're her dad. You have that.
I have that protective instinct I don't want anything to happen to either of them. But I feel like Jake can, quite rightly, maybe he's a big lad, stand up for himself and is not going to let anybody do anything to him that he doesn't want.
But also go back to when he was in year seven, because he wasn't so big then. I mean, he's always been tall and, you know, he has always had that confidence, but he was still little in year seven.
Yeah.
As in, like, he wasn't adult sized. Now he's taller than a lot of adults. And that doesn't mean that bad things can't happen to him. Of course they can.
Yep.
But he's also got that confidence and sort of ability to keep himself away from those situations.
That's right.
But when he was in year seven, he didn't.
No.
But we still didn't worry as much as we do.
In the same way.
Yeah. Different way, but I definitely think we, I mean,
how old was he when he went to that event with his friend? It was post year seven, wasn't it? He went quite far on the train.
Yeah.
It was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, maybe in year eight. So maybe 13, going on 14.
I can't see Alice doing that.
No. And, you know, we do have to point out that she is completely different in her personality. She doesn't have the same confidence that he has. And, you know, Jake is incredibly laid back. There aren't many things that really get him flustered. You know, if he needs to ask somebody for help, he will do. He'll approach people in the shop, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Whereas I'm not sure that Alice always would. And she does get quite anxious and nervous about situations. So, you know, obviously how you treat one child is going to be different. But there is, you know, we've talked, for example, the cruise. We've talked about the cruise. And I really feel that had we gone when Jake was the age that Alice will be, so she'll be 12, almost 13,
right,
we wouldn't have had any issue with him going off to, you know, around the ship on his own. I'm not saying that he would have wanted to on his own, but we wouldn't have particularly had an issue. As long as we knew roughly where he was, you know, that would have been okay.
Sure,
but we've already made it very clear between ourselves that on that ship, Alice is not going anywhere without one of the three of us with her.
Correct.
Because there are thousands of other people and things can happen, and we don't trust the world, I guess, and all those people. So
it's definitely a double standard.
It is a double standard, but not one that, you know, we make for any other reason than we have to keep her safe. And unfortunately for girls and women, it's a really dangerous time. It probably always has been, but it feels like it only gets worse, not any better.
Yeah.
So if we have to put those kind of restrictions in place to make sure that she's safe, then that's what we'll do.
Right.
And I think we're really lucky, actually, that she understands that. She's never once said, well, Jake did this.
Protected and stymied.
Exactly. She's never, ever said, Jake did that when he was my age. Or, you know, how comes I can't do that? She's never said that.
She's quite pragmatic, really. She gets it.
Yeah, I think she feels, not that she feels unsafe, but she's always been quite nervous. Like, we live on or just off of a very busy high road, and there are a lot of characters.
A lot of them.
To put it nicely. And things happen. You know, it's very busy. It's not necessarily the nicest of places. You know, we're very lucky where we live, but it's not always the nicest, not always the safest. And I know from having been out and about with her since she was tiny, obviously, she does get quite scared and worried in those situations. Even if it's people just speaking, you know, loudly, shouting at each other, whatever, it puts her on edge, and I can see that. So I don't think she ever feels like, I want to go off by myself and do that.
If she did, we'd certainly discuss it. We're not saying, by the way, that she's never not allowed to do these things.
No, absolutely. Obviously, it will happen. And, you know, we're much luckier that now we have iPhones and AirTags and all those things that we can at least see where she is.
Yeah.
And be in contact all the time.
I think what I want to do, I want you to ask your mum and Kelly what they think, having raised only girls. And I want to talk to my dad, having raised mostly boys and one girl.
Well, I know that my mum completely agrees with what we do.
Yeah.
Because we've had these conversations. And it was funny, actually, she mentioned to me, only a few weeks ago about the cruise and Alice going off by herself. And I said, well, we've already had that conversation and it's not going to happen. She was like, oh, good. So I know that she 100%, and I'm pretty sure that if Kelly still lived in London with her girls, it would also be the same.
Right.
Where she lives now is, it's different. I don't think she necessarily lets them
roam free.
Yeah, but they go off, you know, with friends and things like that. But it's a completely different town. It's not
Yes,
you know, in London. Whereas I know when she lived in London, her girls were younger, so it didn't necessarily come up. But that was one of the pushing points for her wanting to leave London, for her girls to have a bit more freedom than she would have allowed them to if they'd stayed.
And I think, you know, if my mum was still alive, and I would pretty much be able to speak for her in this instance, that had I been a blind girl instead of a blind boy, I would have been raised very differently. She let me do a lot of things and go a lot of places with sometimes just quite random people.
It was
people.
A really different time, though.
It was a very different time.
When we were younger.
But I always tell, I don't know if I've told the story on this podcast before, but went to Barbados when I was little. I think it was 8, right? I mean, that's young. And within the first couple of days of me being there, I was staying at a cousin's house for at least a week straight without seeing my mum. And she was off having her fun, knowing that I was at least safe with other people. But had I been a blind girl, I doubt I would have had that experience.
But yeah, maybe.
I was okay, and she knew I was okay. And looking back, like, that's crazy. This is pre-phones, pre-tracking, pre-anything.
Yeah.
And they would take me off and take me around the island, and we would do things. And we only told the people we were staying with, never told my mum every step of the thing I was doing. That makes it sound naughty, but it wasn't. It was just, we did, it was a holiday. We did stuff. But, like, had anything happened to me, who would have known?
Yeah.
Definitely double standard. And I know that because I know her. And it's just interesting to think about that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, it came up one point, like, I haven't seen you for ages. I called her late. And she's like, no, I'm away across the island. I'll see you tomorrow. And I remember being quite sad because it had been, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7 days I haven't seen her on a 4-week holiday.
Aww.
I remember that.
It is definitely different, though. If that had have been now, I don't think... Well, I know you would have had phones, so it would have been easier to communicate. But, you know, I don't think necessarily things that we did when we were...
Oh, man.
Pre-teens.
Playing in the street.
Playing in the street. Out in the, yeah, I mean, we always said with our kids. And people do that around here. You see the kids out all the time in the summer. And do you remember there used to be those couple of boys that would come and ask if Jake could come out and play?
Yeah.
And I would always say no. Mainly because I knew that some of the things that they got up to were not not the best. But even so, I don't think that we would have been happy about them going off without some kind of supervision.
No.
Because things do happen and, you know, it's our job to keep them safe.
It is.
Another double standard that I think we should talk about is the parenting babysitting.
Yeah,
you know that this is a bit of a sore point for me just because it really winds me up. But when a mum is taking care of her children, she's parenting. But when a dad is taking care of his children, he's babysitting and should be praised. And that is just, you know, they're your children too. And I have had that before when I've been out when the kids were little. Or who's looking after them? Well, you're their dad. I don't mean that you've said that, by the way, that came across like you said that. Obviously not. Other people would see it as, oh, dad's babysitting tonight then, is he?
That's no. Other people's kids, not yours.
Yeah, you're looking after your children. It shouldn't be, you know, seen as, oh, I'm doing you a favor looking after our kids.
And I think there are households where that does seem to be the case, and it shouldn't.
I think it's really common. And also, you know, when you have a father who takes their kids to the park or to birthday parties or whatever, and that's like, oh, you're such a great dad doing all these things and, you know, being so involved.
And yet mums do it all the time.
Exactly. And actually, you're just highlighting the fact that they don't do it enough by praising them for the time that they do it. It should just be, you know, an automatic. This is your child too.
Absolutely.
You know,
I will say I do enjoy the time I do get to take them places.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. And, you know, again, like I always say, our situation is very different. When they were little, you weren't able to take them off places by yourself and things. They were little. They were in buggies or, you know, whatever. It wouldn't have been possible. But, you know, that doesn't mean that as they've got older and stuff, that people should be praising you for spending time with your children.
No, they shouldn't.
They're your kids.
Praise them for being great kids. It's different.
Yes.
They are. And we always have fun when we go out places. We go, excursions, shopping excursions. Come back with goodies. It's great fun.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite points. I'll be, like a highlight of the holiday if we do that. Didn't do it last time because it was Christmas holiday. But, it's something that I always try to do with them each holiday is just we go to a place, whether it's like Westfield or Battersea Shopping Centre or something. Just I take them out for a day, I spoil them, and it's great fun.
Yeah.
And then I bring them back to you for dinner.
Yes. You usually bring back some kind of treats.
Yeah.
Donuts, chocolates, something. But yeah.
One of the funniest ones we did when we went Mother's Day shopping.
Oh, that was lovely. You came back with surprises for me.
Well, yeah, because I think it had been, it was post-Mother's Day or pre-Mother's, I don't remember. But I think you thought you weren't getting anything that year, and it was always my plan to do a thing. I'm like, I can't shop with you because I've got you in mind. That kind of is pointless.
Yeah.
Let's go shopping with the children. And we did. Got a good deal too.
It was lovely. It was very sweet.
Double standards.
Yeah.
I don't really know, I can't think of many more or any more, but I think it's one of those things that the comment section will have thoughts on.
Well, there's loads. There's loads more that you could delve into with relationships, you know, where you have one partner saying, well, you know, I'm allowed to spend this money, but you're not, or, you know, it's all right for me to talk to other girls, but not for you to talk to other
Oh, that men. One there's, I see quite often.
Yeah, there's so many. And quite often I would say that they would all be red flags in that relationship.
Yep.
But, you know, luckily those have never, ever applied to us.
So, you know, the man is allowed to go off on a work trip and do whatever. But if you do, nah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not okay.
Yeah. And, you know, then you have all the kinds in the workplace, I suppose, you know.
Oh, goodness.
And maybe dress codes, things like that. You know, men being able to wear whatever they want, that's fine. But women have to dress a certain way and make sure that they're not too...
Well, there are whole restaurants that talk about this, aren't there? The whole, that's why they employ women for in the first place.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's loads more, but I think...
Gender segregation.
Yes. I think just applying it to us would probably be mostly around the difference between raising a teenage boy and almost...
A teenage girl,
yeah.
Who's not yet.
No, but she's...
I'm scared. How is it possible that it's gotten to this
two
point?
Two teenagers, I know.
You know, in a...
Well, I kind of refer to them as the teenagers because...
In a handful of months.
Yes.
It's crazy to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, there you go. Some food for thought. A quiz question. And double standards. What are your double standards? What makes you just rage in the face? Do tell us.
Yes.
Curious. We want to hear it. And if you haven't done already, please do rate the old podcast. It does help. If you don't mind. We appreciate you very much.
Always.
And with that, we're going to leave you to it. But have yourselves a lovely day and avoid any double standards.
Bye.
Last point of call, if you will. This one's a fun one. You had a question for me, didn't you?
Questions?
You did. You had a question for me about hiding places.
Ah, okay. So, if you had a paperclip... And the FBI were on their way to come and find this paperclip. It's the most important thing. They need to have it. You're going to get into huge trouble for having this paperclip. You need to hide it somewhere in this house where the FBI will not find it. Where would you hide it?
I've got a few different hiding places.
Okay.
And I don't know which one of them I pick necessarily. I was thinking that I could put it... one of the more obvious places. If I could have multiple paper clips, I could hide them in all these different spots. But
just one paper clip.
I'd hide lots of dummy paper clips. I'm going to hide the dummy paper clips first, and then I'll tell you the other one at the end.
Okay.
So I'm going to hide a dummy paper clip in the bottom half of the piano, which never gets opened. Okay. Not the top half, where you tune it. Right? I'm going to hide one in perhaps the back of some piece of equipment, like a tape machine, because there is one in this house. Or, you know, dismantle the printer and hide it in amongst the innards.
Mm-hmm.
But the most special one, I thought I could hide in the back of my keyboard amp. Because it does come off, but you'd have to know that to know that. There's two little coin, you basically use a 2p coin to unscrew the back of the mixer, and it comes off, and it's, it does it so that you can, I either use the mixer on a table, but I think you can store some cables in there if your cables are not as big and fat as mine. So you can hide something in there. So I'd probably try that. Because a lot of people probably say like the vent or a light bulb socket or something, but I think it's generic.
Yeah, I think that's quite obvious.
So, where are you hiding your paperclip?
Well, initially I thought, like you, in the piano, but, and I don't know if this breaks the rules. I don't know if you're allowed to uncoil the paperclip, because then maybe I would wrap it around something inside the piano, so you wouldn't really notice it unless you picked apart every single string.
It becomes part of the unit.
Yeah. But again, I don't know if...
Because I think that would be an interesting one.
When I read it, it didn't say the paperclip must stay paperclip
shaped.
Sized and shaped. Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. Or like perhaps the pipes that we have in the cupboard.
Oh, yeah, stairs. There's loads of those.
Yeah. You could maybe wrap it around that.
Hmm. I feel like this house just doesn't have a lot of hiding places. It's not that kind of house.
No. I mean, we do have the vents that have the fluffy stuff inside.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called.
The I don't know. Foamy weirdness. Yeah.
Things. But again, I feel like they would probably check that, because it seems quite obvious.
I mean, I would if I was walking around this place, be like, yeah, okay, where are you going to hide it?
Yeah.
Behind the
in the hole in the wall.
Yeah, the big obvious plastic door.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's an interesting one.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's a good question, though.
Yeah.
See who's listening by this point, shall we?
Yeah.
Right. Your bye was smiley in the last one, so I'm going to have a good bye that I can move to the beginning bit.
Goodbye.
Excellent.